It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Money for Lunch. It's so good to have you here. We're going to jump right into it. The quote of the day comes from the most winning coach of all, John Wooden. The most important thing in the world is family and love, by John Wooden. Totally agree. The most important thing in the world is family and love. And I think most of us would agree with that, but sometimes we forget, it gets lost, we get distracted, you know, we're out there trying to make things happen. Now, this is assuming that you had a normal disruptive or regular, normal family, right? That, you know, there was some normal love there. I'm not talking about, you know, being in an abusive relationship, obviously. That's a little bit different. But if you were just an average family with dysfunctions, thank you, average dysfunctional family like we all are, then, you know, the most important thing in the world is family and love, again, by the great coach John Wooden. Let's get this party started. I'm excited for my next guest because we're going to be talking about something that, speaking of family, I think is kind of interesting and something that when my producer said, hey, you know, we have this guest, Sarah Bender Mehta, and she's the president of this family-owned business, and she wants to talk about, you know, the different aspects of having a family-owned business. I said, yeah, I'm down for that because I've been a part of a family-owned business, and it's all sorts of crazy. I mean, being an entrepreneur is crazy enough, but then you throw in your family dynamic into that, it is just like, you know, crazy. All right, so let's get it going here. As I mentioned, my guest is Sarah Bender Mehta. She is the president of leading piano rental company, Piano, a company so nice they named it twice. I've been waiting all week to say that. After graduating Cornell in 2001, Sarah made her way to the University of Michigan Law School, where she focused her studies on products liability defense. After a successful career in law, Sarah decided to join forces with her father, Jerry Bender, in 2014 to continue the family business and provide a stress-free, affordable piano rental process to consumers around the country. Sarah Bender Mehta, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. It's good to be here.
You know what? I, like I said, I'm excited to have you here. I think it's always fun to talk about the family-owned business. And, you know, and a lot of us forget that you look at companies like Dell, Dial Corporation, FedEx, some of these businesses that are huge, multi-billion dollars today were family-owned businesses, and they started, you know, rather modestly. So I got to ask you, here you are on track, you're having this successful law career, and what prompted you to leave that and get into the piano rental business with your dad?
I mean, I think, you know, timing is everything, as they say. And mm-hmm. I was practicing law, really enjoying it, but I was at a point in my career where it was kind of like, am I going to go to the next level? I kind of had to make that decision. And in law, they say, you know, making partner, it's a pie eating contest where the prize is more pie. So I thought to myself, like, here I am killing myself working. And my dad, you know, we had this business, and he always really enjoyed it, but still also gave him, you know, sort of a nice lifestyle. And he was wanting to retire. My dad's 86 years old now, so he was, you know, 82 at the time. And he was thinking of selling the business. So my now husband is actually an M&A guy on Wall Street, so he was kind of looking at the business with my dad and saying, should we sell this? And he just said to me, I think this is a really good business, and I think it will be a mistake to let it go out of the family. So that just helped me make my decision to say, I don't want to eat any more pie. I'm ready to new.
You were tired of the legal pie. You wanted the piano rental pie.
Exactly. And it's been such a fabulous decision. I mean, we can get into more details, but getting to work with my, you know, father every single day, as I mentioned, he's 86, and I'm so grateful now to have this time. You know, I wouldn't have had that if I was slaving away at the law firm. So it's really
sure.
Great.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, between, you know, your dad, who obviously you work with on a regular basis, then you also have your husband. It sounds like he might be part of your, what do you call it, inner circle, where you might brainstorm with him or ask him questions. He obviously has an idea of what the business is about. So that's kind of nice that, you know, you have him as a sounding board, for lack of better terms.
Yeah, he's definitely on the unofficial advisory board. And actually, just this past week, we were away and I had to meet with some business contacts. And I said, you know, you're in the family now, so this is your business too. So,
welcome to the family business. All right. So I'm going to go on a limb here because I don't see it here on my notes, but it's pianopiano.com.
Yes, it is.
All right, pianopiano.com, which I thought was, first of all, that's really smart. It's easy to remember, and, you know, which is, I think, very important when it comes to all things marketing. You have to have an easy name, and with a name like Piano Piano, you're not going to forget it anytime soon, and it obviously tells you that you guys are all about pianos, so good idea with that. So let's talk about this. How did the name Piano Piano come around versus Jerry's Pianos or the Bender Piano Business? Talk about the name real quick.
Well, so, you know, throughout the life of the business, it's had a bunch of different names. And in the 70s and 80s, my father had a piano store that he had bought from someone else called Jack Kahn Music. And he bought it from a guy called Jack Kahn. And he had managed to expand that one location into 27 locations all over the East Coast. Now, in the 90s, the piano business went through a little bit of a stumble, and many, many piano stores were forced to reorganize, and, you know, we were included with that. So at that point, you know, they scaled back to having only, I think, 3 or 4 locations in the New York area, and at the time, the business didn't have a name. They hadn't come up with a name yet, but we were carrying 2 major brands of pianos at the time, 2 brands which we still carry, called Samick and Kawai. And so our people were answering the phone, Samick Piano, Kawai Piano. And my mom walked in one day, and my mom said, that's crazy. Why would you answer the phone that way? Let's just call it Piano Piano. So another, you know, family member involved in naming the business, and we became Piano Piano. Grew that business into like the largest piano retailer in the New York area. And then my dad decided to kind of retire and do the piano rental as just kind of a retirement hobby. And we changed the name of the company to Piano Rental New York. At the time, the way Google worked, your website domain was very heavily influenced how you came up in results. So they figured if they called the company Piano Rental New York or rentalnewyork.com, that people would find us on Google. And they did. And my dad's retirement hobby grew out of control. And that's when I came in and said, Piano Piano has this amazing reputation in New York. Like, people still remember Piano Piano. Like, Google doesn't work that way anymore. Let's change it back. So about 3 years ago, we changed it back. And it's been really successful, and the number of people who email us or call us, oh, I bought my piano from you in 1993 and have great memories of that experience, it's been really great for us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That yeah, I think that's great insight. I love that. All right, so let's talk about this. One of the, I guess, biggest advantages to working with family is that you work together as family. You bond a lot closer. Some of the negative sides of working with the family is that, well, you're working with the family. Everybody knows everybody's business. So let's talk about that. What are some of your success tips for people who are working with family or considering working with family? Give us some of your thoughts about how to maybe separate the family junk from the business junk, because you know sometimes you can have a squabble with a family member one night, and of course the next morning you're working together, and that can't, what do you call it, that squabble can't interfere with work. Talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that learning to kind of leave your family dynamic at home or at holidays is really important. You know, everyone knows that with your family, you sort of can go places and argue in a way that you wouldn't do with a normal colleague. So I think remembering, you know, when you're at work, your colleagues, and to kind of talk to each other that way, or for arguments or decisions that might get more heated, sort of like taking that out of the workplace and making sure your employees aren't party to that is really important. I think that, you know, with any family, there's ups and downs. You know, we'd all like to think that we're the cleavers, but it's not just generally the case. As you mentioned in the opening, we all have a normal dysfunctional family. So
right.
I think that, you know, keeping that in the back of your head when you're at work, your colleagues, and imagine that the person sitting across from you is just someone you only know at work, I think is really important. But I think, you know, on the flip side, there's so many good aspects to working with your family. You know, no one's ever going to have your back the way your family members do. And knowing that you can go on a vacation, or you can, you know, like last year when I was planning my wedding was a really crazy time for me, and knowing that my father and mother were there and that they would care about the business as much as I would is really important. You know, no employee is ever going to care as much as you do, especially when you're in a smaller family business. And it's really amazing to know that there's somebody at the business who cares as much as you do.
Yeah. And I think that the flip side of that is nobody's going to care about both the business and, let's say, your wedding or your newborn, you know, your first child type thing, or your pregnancy, as much as a family member type environment would, right? Because if you were working at a law firm, you know, you can only, you know, after a while, depending on the law firm, right? Every business is different. But, you know, when it's not your business, when you are working for somebody else and you're planning a wedding, or you're planning that first child or whatever, I guess any child for that matter of fact, you know, you want to take time off, and asking for time off always seems like a burden. And you feel as though, man, if I take time off, you know, I'm taking away from my vacation days. And if I need more time, then it's a favor and all this other stuff. So having your mom and dad in this case have your back, but also they are happy for the wedding too. So it's really two for one.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great, especially with vacation. I always joke that I have unlimited vacation days, but I also have zero vacation days. So, yeah, nobody's ever going to care as much as you do, but you're also going to care about your job in a way that you never would if you were working for somebody else. And I definitely saw that contrast, that every single thing that happens here is so meaningful to me and important. Whether we get a tiny customer complaint, it keeps me up at night because, you know, this business is like our, you know, sixth family member, and
yes,
we all care about it so much. And so even when I'm planning my wedding, I'm thinking about this business all the time. And I think in another job, you wouldn't necessarily have that priority. So it's very rewarding that way.
Absolutely. All right. So what are some of the strategies or some of the ways that you're able to separate work time from family time, because I remember when I worked in the family business, there was no separation. I mean, anytime we got together, it was always, you know, talking about the business. I mean, it could be Christmas, it could be a birthday, it could be a, you know, a baptism, it could be, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, we go from my brother and I talking, and all of a sudden my other brother shows up, and somebody brings up a customer or something. And all of a sudden our event becomes a business meeting. Any tricks on how to separate the two?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, leaving the business out of family time is definitely very tricky. My other siblings are not involved in the business. So we try, you know, my father and mother and myself, we try at least that when we're at family gatherings where we're all there, we don't want to bore everyone else to tears with discussions of the family business. So we try not to talk about it, but it always creeps in. I mean, it's really impossible. We kind of set some ground rules about, you know, unless it's like an emergency or something, not calling each other at night or on the weekend to discuss work. You know, we do a lot over email, but, you know, trying to give people their own personal time that, you know, doesn't involve work. And I think we're pretty good at it. But yeah, you have to constantly remind yourself, we're not at work right now. We're opening Christmas presents. We don't need to discuss the business.
Right.
It's hard thing.
Right. And so it's true. I think it sounds to me like you guys had a, you know, business/family council, if you will, and said, okay, we're going to set up some rules here. We're not going to bother each other. And it's not really a bother, but we're not going to contact each other 24/7 about business. We're going to try to separate it. And I think it's great that your other siblings aren't involved, because it makes it easier for you to separate that at a family gathering.
Oh, for sure. If we were all involved, it would be impossible to not just constantly talk about work no matter what we were doing. So, it's actually a blessing that they're not as involved as I am.
Absolutely. No, it really is. All right, let's talk about this. You know, here you are. You studied at Cornell, prestigious school. You have a law degree, which is considered very prestigious. You're coming to the piano rental business. You know, were there ever a situation where, you know, you thought maybe that you knew more than your parents did or anything like that? I mean, how do you guys, you know, learn to trust the different generations?
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting. I have several friends who are also taking over their family businesses. And as I've been doing this, I've been meeting more and more people who are in a similar position. And it can be a big challenge to get your parents to learn to trust your judgment. You know, in their eyes, you're always going to be their kid. And I'm the baby of the family, so I'm especially a kid to them. And it definitely was a challenge. You know, I came in and I had a lot of ideas on modernizing the business, redoing our website, making all of our records digital and all this kind of stuff. And there was a lot of pushback at first. And I really had to have a heart-to-heart with my parents at some point and just say, look, you asked me to come here and I came here, I want to, but, you know, if this business is going to continue, it's time for us to update the way we do things. And so I started with baby steps. I said, okay, let's do this small project. It's not going to be that hard. It's not going to cost that much money. And as we did these small projects and they had success, it was a lot easier to get my parents to begin to trust me and to trust my judgment. And now I would say, you know, I still involve them in major decisions. I would never just run off and do something without them, but I think that they really trust the input that I give on what we should be doing with the business and what the best way to do it is. And I think, like I said, for many of my friends who have been in a similar position, that was the biggest struggle, was getting their parents to trust their judgment and to get their parents to feel comfortable to say, well, we're going to go to Florida for the winter and, you're here and you run the business and we're not going to bother you, you know?
Yeah. And I think you hit the, I think you hit one of the nails on the head, or at least one of the strategies is that even though you might be their kid and they trust you, and I think, yeah, maybe part of that is, oh, look, this is our baby girl and we're so excited to work. And with your particular scenario, that might have played a factor in it. But ultimately, it's like anything else in life. You have to earn that trust. It's, you know, for you to come to the business that your parents have had for, you know, years, and you really haven't taken that much time in the business, for them to say, hey, here are the keys, see ya, it would be not a smart move on their part. And I think what you said that a lot of people should take away, and that is have a small project so you can build trust. And it's like anything else. You know, you build trust step by step, and all of a sudden you have one project done, and maybe then later on you have three or four or five, and after a while they no longer question your abilities, and it's not you coming up with some weird idea because, you know, you want an app on the phone. It's because you understand the business and they trust you.
Yeah. I think it's also, you know, just in the way you would with any person you work for, or work with, proving to them why the idea is a good idea, you know, having the data to back it up and showing how whatever you want to do can positively affect the business. I think as you do that more and more, they really learn to trust you, and till they get to the point where they say, yes, whatever your decisions are great, or if it's a big decision, let's talk about it. I think that, you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive. You would think your parents should just implicitly trust you, but in some ways it takes even more work to gain their trust because, like I said, they have this perspective that you're their kid and they're the parents, and parents know best. So it
right.
can be a lot to get them to realize maybe not. I think
yeah.
you have to really understand that your parents or whoever your family members are, they put their whole life into this business. You know, I always joke that this business is my parents' fifth child. And I think that you have to be sensitive to that. And they did put their whole life into it, and they're worried that something bad could happen. And so you have to, you know, be sensitive to that, and also understand that they have so much guidance and knowledge and experience in whatever that business is, and that shouldn't be taken lightly either, that they really have a lot of knowledge that they can impart and input that can be really valuable.
Absolutely. And look, not only is this a business that they love, but you're also talking about money. And I don't care. Look, money is important. Family is important. Business is important. And you're coming in, you're the new kid on the block. You have to earn their trust just like you would in any business. And that's all there is to it. So if you are thinking that maybe you're being treated unfairly, or man, my parents have known me all my life and they're treating me like they don't trust you, or they don't trust me, is because they don't 100% trust you in this particular situation because you haven't earned it. So don't take it personally. It's just a learning process. So man, I went through that as well. I mean, it was just, what do you call it? It's just part of paying the price of working for any business, but definitely for parents, working with your parents, it's no different.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think, you know, when you're working for your parents, you believe there's an implicit trust. And I think it, you just have to take that step back and say, hey, wait a minute, if I just showed up at any random company, they wouldn't just hand it over to me and let me go crazy. So why should that be the case in this business? You know, my parents invested their whole life in this business, and this is their legacy. This is what they're leaving to the next generation. They certainly don't want me to squander it. And of course I never would, but they have to gain, you know, that sense that everything's going to be okay before they can feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. let me ask you this. In your business, do you guys have a set of boundaries and clear duties and structures? Do you guys have that now, or is that something you're working towards? Talk about this.
Yeah, I think it's something that we didn't even necessarily realize that we needed. When I first joined the business, I was just learning, and I was almost just like another employee. And I think as my role in the company grew, and now I'm, you know, officially the president of the company, and my father's sort of in an advisory role, I think it became really clear that we needed to lay out, at least between each other, you know, who's doing what and who is the boss and whose decision is the final decision, at least as it is employee facing. I think there was a period when it was confusing for our employees because I might be saying something different than my father was, and they didn't know who's the boss and who they had to be listening to. So I think we kind of realized that we needed to decide with each other who's going to do what, or when, what is the type of decision where I have to seek input, and vice versa. So I think that we, you know, we don't have like an official guideline that we wrote out, but over the course of series of meetings, we kind of came up with a plan of who's in charge of the day-to-day operations, which is me, and, you know, when do I need to go to my father or my mother with a bigger decision about what we should do. And I go to them with a lot of decisions. You know, the big ones, I think it's a no-brainer. Of course they should have input on that. But I go to them with all kinds of, you know, teeny tiny decisions just because they have great knowledge of this industry and they're great with people. And sometimes it's just great to have that sounding board of somebody who can give you input or a perspective you might not have thought of.
Yeah. And I want to interject this. I think that by you doing that, first of all, you're right. You're tapping into somebody that's a great resource. They feel as though they're included in the business as it's moving forward. So to me, it's a win-win scenario because you're getting some feedback, which they're seeing that you care about their opinion, which is always good. And I think it adds that level of trust and it adds to, a feeling of inclusiveness, which is so important when you have a family business.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. I think, you know, the flip side of getting your parents to trust you with the business is also making sure they don't feel like they're being bypassed or that the business is moving beyond them. Like, this is their life's work, and it's really important to me for them to know how much I appreciate everything they've done to get the business to this point, and that their input is still valued and needed. And I think that, you know, no one wants to feel like they're being put out to pasture. You know, they want to know that they are still important in the business. And I think making sure that they feel included is really important.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. My father, you know, we could always, you know, he gave my brother, my oldest brother, the go ahead with just about everything. But every now and then he would come in a barking, right? He'd be in a bad mood and he would start barking out stuff. And that's when we knew that he felt excluded. That's when we knew that he felt as though he was not that where we were like, passing him by. So it's definitely important. And, you know, when he would have these outbursts, you know, we would simply we'd all go out to lunch together and, you know, debrief him on what's going on and he would feel better and, you know, and life would go on, you know, for another 30 or 60 or 90 days until he felt compelled to, you know, to bark some more. But yeah, very important. All right. So let me ask you this. Here you are. You've made some changes, not only in careers, but now you've taken on this family business. How do you deal with fear?
With fear?
Yes.
By not sleeping. There are definitely things we've done that, or problems that have come up. You know, I was used to working in a large size law firm. I came in every day and the lights were on and the computer was working. And if it didn't work, there was somebody I could call and everything was taken care of. All I had to do was go there and do my work. And I think when you transition to a family business, it's definitely a huge adjustment. I mean, I remember the first 6 months I would be up in the middle of the night worrying about, like I said, do we pay the electric bill and what's going on with the bank account? And you really have to learn to sort of control that because every single problem is your problem. Every victory is your victory, which is incredible, but the teeniest, tiniest problems become your problem. And learning how to deal with that and to not be scared of it is really important. I mean, my father gave me a good tip that he said, you know, before he goes to sleep at night when there's a lot going on at work, he just sits down and thinks about, okay, what do I need to do tomorrow? And he writes it all down. And that allows him to put it out of his mind so he can sleep. And that's really worked well for me. I think when you're doing something scary, taking on something new, you know, it's hard, but I think, first of all, making sure that you've done the research and that you know you're making a good decision really helps. And I think also figuring out ahead of time, what's the downside on this decision? What's the worst possible thing that could happen? It's kind of good to know that also because it makes it a little bit less scary. And I think that, you know, I've always said in my personal life that, you know, it's okay to be afraid of things. It's not okay to let that stop you from doing them. So I've done a lot of things in my life, like whatever, jumping out of a plane or traveling alone, where it was definitely scary, but I did it, and I'm glad I did it. Even if it was something I didn't enjoy, I learned from it, and I kind of apply that to the business as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. It is okay to be afraid, but you cannot let it stop you. I love that. All right, so do you have a personal self-talk, mantra, affirmation, or self-belief that contributes to your success?
I'm not sure. I mean, I would say, you know, that motto of not letting fear stop you, it definitely does contribute because I think, you know, it's always easy to not do something. There's a million and one reasons not to do things. But I think if you believe in something and you think it's the right idea, you know, you just put one foot in front of the other and you do it. And like, yeah, I said, knowing the downside, that, you know, it's important. It lets you know if whatever you're doing is going in the wrong direction and that maybe you should stop and turn around. So I think, I don't know if I have a mantra, but, you know, I just think life is for living. You have to do, not talk.
I like that. You got to do it, not talk about it. Parting word of advice to our listeners.
I think when it comes to a family business, you know, I'm so glad that I joined my family business. I get this incredible time with my parents, and I would never have gotten that otherwise if I was, you know, stuck in the law firm. And I think that it's been really, really rewarding. I would just say it's not a decision to take lightly. You definitely bring your family dynamic to work with you every day. And if it turns out to be the wrong decision, it is way harder to extricate yourself. You're here. It's true. You're here. Your family is relying on you. It's definitely, you know, they're putting a lot of trust and faith in you. And it's, I don't think it's something to be taken lightly. I think it's super rewarding, and I'm so glad I did it, but I should have maybe thought about that a little bit more ahead of time. In retrospect, it doesn't matter. I would have made this decision anyway, but it's not something that somebody told me about. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know, when you quit a regular job, you quit. There's no hard feelings. You know, for the most part, you know, hey, if you did a great job, your boss is going to say, hey, we're sorry to see you go. We're going to miss you. We're going to, you know, we'll give you a recommendation. Life is great. Man, when you quit the family business, that's like it's taken on a personal level, right? Oh, you're going to quit, you know, and then when you show up at the first family reunion, there's always a little bit of feedback. I'll say it like that. All right. How can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, you can go to www.pianopiano.com and you can find out about all our great rental programs. You know, we have brand new pianos to rent, and you can rent for as long as you want, a day, a week, a month, a year, forever. We never ask you to buy, and you can use your first 12 months of rental fees towards purchase if you ever do want to buy. So it's super affordable, flexible, and I think the smartest way to have a piano.
I do, too. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, having a piano in the house is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do for the family. And Piano Piano has placed pianos literally everywhere, from Carnegie Hall to the Top of the Rock, hundreds of Broadway shows, music festivals, including the recent Make Music New York. So good stuff there at pianopiano.com. Sarah Bender Mehta, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your insights to having a family business. I want to wish you the best with your continued success there at pianopiano.com, and looking forward to catching up with you again.
Great. Thank you, Bert. It's been a pleasure.
All righty. Good stuff there from Sarah and her family business at pianopiano.com. Please, let's share this episode with anybody that you know that has a family business. I mean, that's like almost everybody, right? People who are in a family business, maybe they don't own it, but they're working in that family business. This will give them some insights as to what's happening and maybe, you know, some of the questions that they can ask to make things run smoother. So maybe they're working for a family business. This episode would be good for them. Maybe they own a family business. This business would be good for them, or this episode would be good for them as well. So let's share it with everybody. And remember, my friends, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.